This is episode 72 of IDRA Class Notes.
I think IDRA, in particular with the involvement of families, knows that families are the children's strongest advocates, irrespective of where they come from, what kind of ethnicity or socioeconomic backgrounds they have, that they all can contribute. Family leadership is the way for partnerships to evolve with school settings, and that's to create the common solutions, because together we have a lot to offer.
Welcome to the IDRA Class Notes podcast. I am Aurelio Montemayor, and here today with me is Francis Guzman from IDRA to talk about parents as leaders in education. This is in a very unique context called the annual IDRA Semana del Niño Parent Institute. Good morning, Francis.
Good morning.
So tell us, what is this Parent Institute?
Well, the Parent Institute has a long history with IDRA because IDRA has always been about valuing students and their families. When we started about 20 years ago with our early childhood education conference, we also decided that parents were an integral part of our partnership. And from this has evolved La Semana del Niño Parent Institute.
And what are some unique things about this institute?
Several. First of all, our parents are the ones doing the majority of the presentations. It is bilingual, English, Spanish. And there is a way of preparing them. The families who are participating are part of our Parent Leadership and Education series, so that they decide what the content will be based on the information that we provide. They practice and are putting into practice the things that they are learning, and they will be able to take back whatever they do with this Parent Leadership and Education and the Institute to present and participate with in their own communities and in their own campuses.
Why do you see it as important that parents present to parents?
Well, I think it's a credibility issue, number one. When families are talking to other families about real situations, I have much more credibility when I can say I've been through this. Number two, it is a way of showing not only families and the parents in particular, but their children as well as schools, how much information we already have and can be as a useful contributor and partner in what we're dealing with.
Are these families, some of them from Title I schools? Are they Spanish speakers? What are the presenters like?
The presenters come from all walks of life. They are families that are typically found in all school settings. They are bilingual. They are monolingual English. They are monolingual Spanish and other languages in some instances. But they all share one common goal: to make sure that their children get the very best education and how they can be involved with that.
And in this conference, in this institute that just happened, how many groups presented? How many parents? Who were
we had 182 people registered for the conference.
Wow.
And of that, the majority of the sessions, we had 12 individual small group sessions. 8 of the 12 were done by parents presenting to parents.
And where are they from? Who are some of the groups?
It's from across the state. We had, for example, Hays County ISD presented on early childhood. We had Edgewood Family Network, which is a community organization talking about organizing in the community, what our likes and needs. We had the Time Dollar folks, another community organization, talking about the new high school graduation plans. Harlandale ISD talked about bilingual education, its importance and how it should be done well. Uvalde, Consolidated Independent School District, their parents presented on dropout prevention strategies. And then Houston ISD presented on the home instruction program for parents of preschool youngsters.
And we hope to have a podcast on that specific program. And how did they do?
Not only did they do wonderfully, but they got across the information in a very well-presented manner. They all had 1 hour. They had introductions. They had objectives. They had small group activities. They had summaries, Q&A, questions and answers, and then an evaluation of how they had done.
Now, are these experienced presenters? They've done these before?
No. In fact, part of the Parent Leadership and Education series is just about how do you get information to other families who are not participating or who are not here at these sessions. For many of these, in fact, I want to say 3/4 of our presenters, this was the first time event.
Okay, so they must have been a little bit nervous, apprehensive?
A little bit nervous, certainly excited, mm-hmm. and very proud to be representing their own organizations, their own school districts, and representing the parents in their districts.
How were the presentations received by the participants?
Not only were they excited about seeing parents presenting, but they also came away. I did like very brief informal interviews with people. Well, what did you think? What did you learn? Not only did they have very useful information, very current information, but it showed that they had put a lot of effort into presenting. And so hardcore presenters, people who do this for a living, mm-hmm. were not only impressed, but said, I came away with new information. I also came away with knowing their commitment to making this work.
Now, going back, for example, the Hays County group, how did they arrive at the topic? They presented on early childhood education.
Right. Well, they're an early childhood education bunch to begin with.
Oh, okay.
That is their whole setting. But with they have been participating in the Parent Leadership and Education series, they decided that a lot of other folks did not know about what they were doing. So their presentation was called Padres Fantásticos, or Fantastic Parents, which meant that not only do they get instruction in early childhood, but they're also finding out about furthering their own education. They're becoming computer literate. They have other things that they're involved with in the community, and they shared this with the audience.
Of all the groups, which do you think was the one that was the newest, or the ones that was facing within their own internal planning concerns or whatever?
There were a lot of brand new groups. Mm-hmm. Harlandale, in particular, was brand new to the setting.
Okay.
And with a lot of reticence, and I don't know how it's done, I'm not sure that I can do this, how much preparation do we need? Even though I kept assuring them that they already knew this information, still, up until the 3 days before the conference, they wanted me to see their PowerPoint. They wanted me
wow.
to hear their presentation. So they were apprehensive and came away with one of the best sessions that we've ever had.
You know, and Harlandale is one of the 13 independent school districts in the San Antonio area. They're in the south side of town, a blue-collar, mm-hmm. poor, strongly Latino part of town. So it was, I think, especially interesting. The reason I asked you is because, do you think that schools without our intervention would have seen the potential leadership in these parents?
No, right? Not at all. And it's not because they don't want to, or they just never have had the opportunity, and they've never nurtured it this way, the way we do with them.
What are some of the principles that we work from that nurture and support us doing this work with our parents?
Well, I think IDRA, in particular with the involvement of families, because we look at it as more than just involvement in the traditional sense, but parent leadership and education, knows that families are the children's strongest advocates, irrespective of where they come from, what kind of ethnicity or socioeconomic backgrounds they have, that they all can contribute. The other thing is that family leadership is the way for partnerships to evolve with school settings, and that's to create the common solutions, because together we have a lot to offer. When we're still splintered and the schools are telling the families what to do, or families are trying to tell the schools what to do, we're still not in partnership. And the other thing is that we're protecting the rights of all children. That is a principle that we advocate, families advocate it, children are important, schools want to do right by them. When we have all of the groups represented, we go further.
So then the Institute is kind of a laboratory?
Very much so. It's an experimentation in showing other folks across the state how we do this, and making sure that they might want to start looking at it in terms of their own individual communities. One of the things we're very interested in doing is seeing how we can help school districts across the state do this in their own settings.
Have any presenters, either this year or in past years, become presenters as parents because the previous year they saw parents presenting?
I think definitely Uvalde had a brand new group of parent presenters because they did it last year. They also went with me to the state conference on parent involvement and saw the impact that they had on other folks. And so they are now ready. Whenever we want a presentation, they want to do it.
Okay.
And they're willing to give that presentation part to new folks.
You know, in our leadership model, the fourth dimension, the fourth concentric circle on the outside is parent leadership, a parent as leader and trainer of other parents. Why have we seen this specific piece as parent as trainer of other parents as an important part of leadership for parents?
I think it's because, A, it's non-traditional. You usually don't get that when you're talking about engagement of families. Second item is that it again leads back to the credibility when I as a parent talk about something that's real to me to other parents who are also engaging in that same setting, then we come up with ideas and solutions together, which means that we take from all. It's not one person telling somebody else as the expert. It's all of us together coming and looking at the setting and seeing what we can do together. The other thing is that families have a lot to contribute, and because
regardless
we're emphasizing,
of education,
yes,
or language,
irrespective
or
of language, socioeconomic settings, involvement previously, they now are seen as a very viable voice. And that is something that we work for very, very much in terms of our parent leadership.
If somebody is listening that's either a leader or a school person, what would you counsel them to do if they wanted to plan and put something like this together? What are the things they should focus on?
Looking to see what families already want to look at, because many a time they haven't been asked. The second item would be look at some of the things that we've been doing and see if any of these would work for you. But very definitely, look to see who are the non-traditional leaders in your communities, because they have a lot to say.
How do you spot the potential leaders of the emerging?
As soon as people walk into our setting, so what, it's a classroom, workshop, etc., we ask them to sit in small groups, and we ask them to tell us about some of the things that they're doing. And so immediately, as we're walking around the room, we hear things like, well, you know, they needed money for swing sets, and I was able to call five different people and get that done. That's a key. Or there was a problem in the children being let out too early. So I organized the moms in different schedules. And this is a mom who's saying this. And so you can always tell by just walking around the group and then having them present in a summary format some of the kinds of things they've already been involved with. That already leads you to some of the things that they might be doing that are different from volunteering, which is a very good and traditional method of being engaged, but it's not the only way of being engaged.
So if I want to start a parent organization on a campus that follows these principles, would you suggest that we also be looking for parents that can present to other parents, or what? You know, how does this?
I think that that evolves, but definitely that is one of the ingredients that would make it easier to reach other families. Getting people who are already part of community, who already have some clout and credibility, to engage them differently.
So the parent leadership qualities in education then that you look for and you've seen pop up constantly in your work just with the Institute, what are some of those, again, just to renew, what are the characteristics of a parent leader that you're looking for?
I think all of us fit as families and as parents because we care about our children. There isn't a
one parent who
doesn't care.
Yeah.
The second item is showing them different ways of being engaged opens up a lot of avenues for families who traditionally have not been involved, whether it be because they were working at three different jobs or because all of the activities in schools were requiring them to be there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon rather than at 6 or at 7. And then also making sure that the families know and understand that whatever their contribution is, it's important and valuable.
So let's say if a mother is just too shy, too terrified to speak in front of a group, what are the leadership qualities that she can still show to
you? Oh, they can help organize it. They could call. They could help with the development of materials. They could be a partner to the one who's presenting and put in their 2 cents when the other one didn't mention something.
Have you seen some that started out saying, I will never present in front of a group, and then become part of the presentation?
I think all of them in particular are like that. But I've seen the Hays County, the Uvaldes, the Harlandales, all of those with people who said, no, I cannot do it. I'll be in the background, to all of a sudden being, oh, well, I could do 3 of the PowerPoint slides.
Okay. So in closing, what would you like to say?
La Semana del Niño as a laboratory certainly has been a stepping stone. La Semana del Niño Parent Institute is a vehicle that has shown families across the state how not only do we care, but we can present to other families the information that is needed.
Thank you very much, Frances Guzman. Thank you all, and please let others know, and let us know if you listen to the podcast.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org.